Book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to start working through some of the verses in the book of Hebrews. We had two introductory messages. As a matter of fact, the last time I was here, I did one in the morning and then I did one at the lunch. And the first message, we talked about what the distinctive teaching about the Lord Jesus was in the book of Hebrews that's not done in any other way in any of the other books. And that is talking about that Jesus is our high priest and that he is our great high priest. And even though it's alluded to in some verses, through the New Testament and Old Testament, it doesn't come out and say it, except for one verse in the book of Psalms. And then our second lesson was, how do we enter into the message that Jesus is our high priest? And it's a very simple way to enter into that message, is that we have him. It's not that there is a high priest in heaven. There is. But he's not everyone's high priest, but those of us that believe in Christ Jesus and accepted him as our Savior, he becomes our high priest.
Amen.
He is there for us. And what a wonderful way that Hebrews teaches us, you know, that he is our advocate, that he is our mediator, that he is our intercessor. You know, we can't have any greater representative than the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he does that because he loves us. But he did the will of his Father. His Father sent his Son to die on the cross so that we may have a relationship with Almighty God. And that's such a great teaching of the book of Hebrews. Now, on this message today, I want to entitle it called, "The Message Has Been Delivered." The message has been delivered. When we delve into the book of Hebrews, and I hope that many of you have begun to read the book of Hebrews. You know, my Bible teacher used to tell us, try with a book such as Hebrews, is sit down, allocate some time, and read the book completely through in one sitting. And the reason that we do that on some of these smaller books, it might be hard to do ones like on Revelation or maybe the book of Psalm or something like that. But when you have the book of Hebrews, you can sit down and read it all the way through and get a picture of who the people that the Lord is talking to by the power of the Spirit, why this letter was written, and then how we can enter into that message. And so as you have gone through the book of Hebrews, hopefully, if not, I encourage you to try to do it again before the next time I come. But you'll find out that the people in the book of Hebrews were being persecuted. They were suffering. They were Christians in a Roman world. And it wasn't very nice being a Christian in the Roman world. You were persecuted by Rome. If you didn't call Caesar your God, well, you could be killed. And these were some of the things that they were having to go through because they were not going to bow to the Roman gods and to that Caesar. They were not going to do it. And then they were also not accepted by the Jews. See, the Jews' religion was accepted. And they actually was able to get along with the Roman world. But they weren't, Christians weren't accepted by the Jews either. And then they were not accepted by the government. So you can imagine how they felt. And you know, you and I probably can enter into this already. Are you starting to feel like you are being secluded? You know, have you listened to the morning news? How Christians are being pointed out and saying that we are part of the problem, that we won't come up to this day's standards, and to get along with everybody and all their perversions, and not call it for what it is. So, brothers and sisters, Hebrews is for us today as well. You know, we can see how the Hebrew, these people that this letter was written to, what they were going through. And we are going to go through the same thing. You know, Brother Carr this morning was talking about how we bridle our tongues. But in this area, when it comes to speaking out, and Brother Carr said sometimes we have to speak out. It's very, very important. And when we do, we are going to be targeted. And we've already had some Baptist ministers put in jail and stayed in jail. I think it was Western Australia, I believe, where that all they did was compare verses with the Quran and the Bible and show the differences. And it was considered hate speech. And so therefore they were put in jail. So it's coming to Australia. Yeah? It's coming. It's here. And so they felt secluded. They also felt probably alone and vulnerable, even though that they were believers and they knew about God. And they knew what he had done. But yet they were in a society that did not love God and hated them. They started to lose heart. And they began to waver with their Christianity, with their beliefs. And this is what happens sometimes when persecution comes. Those that are strong in the Lord, well, they'll take the persecution and even die. But others might even think, well, this is not worth it. I can't stand it. I can't work in this job any longer. I'm going to quit because I'm being persecuted. They neglected the word of God, the book of Hebrews talks about. And they also neglected to go to meetings. And no doubt they neglected to go to meetings because they were in fear of the fact that they were going to go and they would be persecuted. Found out. And then some had begun to lose faith. You know, have you ever been there in your Christian life? Have you ever been to the point where you felt like, why am I a Christian? Why am I doing this? Is Christianity really worth it? Is, you know, sometimes I pray and, you know, the ceiling feels like it's iron, you know, and it seems like they're just bouncing. They're not going anywhere. And you said, why, God? Why haven't you healed my father? Why haven't you healed my mother? Why haven't you healed me? Why isn't our church growing? Why aren't more people being saved? If you're not interested in this, then I'm not interested in this. You know, have you ever been there? Maybe you've not been brave enough to talk about it. But you might have internalized it. You know, there are some great people in the Bible that believed in God that sounded just like that. If you turn to your Bibles to Job chapter 30, I'll just read some of these. Job chapter 30. In Job chapter 30, verses 19 through 20, the scripture says this. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Job, he was going through great tribulation. He's going through great trials. And his good brothers in Christ came. And they were such a comfort to him. He was feeling bad enough. And they made it worse. You know, have we learned
You know, it's so funny. Every time I, or I shouldn't say funny, but every time I come, Brother Carr preaches a big part of my message. And he was talking about bridling the tongue. His helpers needed to know how to bridle their tongue. They needed to just sit there and be with him. And you know, we might say, have we learned anything from Job's comforters? You know? Well, you know, the book of Hebrews is a book that teaches you and me how to comfort those that are being persecuted, who are losing faith, who stopped reading the Word, who stopped coming to church. The book of Hebrews shows us. And what have we learned? That we should tell them that the Scripture tells us when people are in this way, the writer of Hebrews says, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Amen. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about what Jesus has done. You know, I've been in a lot of services in my years. I've been in church for 62 years. I've been in church. And I've heard a lot of messages. And I've heard a lot of preachers and teachers preach to the people in the pew saying, you know, get to church, go to church. You know, you got to get faithful and be in church. Hey, y'all are already in church. You know, that's not helping anybody. It's helping those that are outside the church, those that need to be worked on, those that need to be comforted, those that need to be us walk beside them and help them. That's how we learn from the book of Hebrews to go and tell them about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them. You know, I think about Job and all the Old Testament characters. You know, they never had a full revelation of the Word of God like you and I do. You know, just consider that there was many people throughout time, up until probably the time that the printing press was invented, where everybody could have the Word of God. Have you ever thought about, can you ever think about how it was in those days, 60 A.D., 90 A.D., 150 A.D., where not many people actually had a Bible of the Old Testament or the New Testament that they could actually touch and feel? You know, I can see why sometimes when they write in the Old Testament and we hear what they've gone through and some of the things that they did, is that they did not have a full revelation of the Word of God. They could not read it for themselves. But you know what, brothers and sisters, we do have the full revelation of God's Word. We have the Old and the New Testament. How many of you have at least 10 Bibles in your home? We have heaps and heaps of Bible. And this is very, very important that we understand that the Word of God is tremendously important to our lives. You know, and we need to be reminded of it. I think about all the kids, how that they can watch a movie over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then you get ready to teach them in Sunday school. And I've heard that. You know? I've heard that. But I need to hear it over and over and over again. Well, I needed that message. If you'd have given an invitation, I'd have come forward. You know? And it's so funny because the illustration that you gave about the lemon tree this morning, Joyce looked at me and she said, no wonder we couldn't get any lemons on our lemon tree. We didn't make it do our will. We did not do what you did. And when we got back from our furlough, it was dead. Because my son didn't do it either. It's amazing. You know, don't we need that message on bridling the tongue?
Amen.
Boy, I needed that this morning. Some of the biggest problems in our churches today is the tongue that's not bridled. And here we are, we have the whole Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament. And we can see how important it is. Now, when we begin in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, The scripture says this in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, listen to what it says. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You know, the first thing that I notice in this verse is that God spake. Now, we understand that God spake. That means in the past tense. So this verse is saying that God has spoke to us in many different ways through history. You know, God is not like those gods that are made with hands. Those idols. You know, doesn't your heart break when you go through different, I don't know how many of you get to travel or how many of you have gone to some of these churches that have idols, and here they are, they look at them, some of them actually kiss them, some of them rub the feet. When Joyce and I were in Bali, you know, that country is a tremendous religious country. And while we were traveling, the taxi was taking us, we would see priests all dressed up in their garb with incense and food and taking it and putting it on the altars of each one of the businesses that had some type of idol there, and they were expecting this idol to bless their business. And as we would walk through the places, we would see all the food that was rotting by those altars, that those altars, those idols were not eating the food, nor were they speaking to the people or any of those things. Aren't you glad that our God is not like that?
Amen.
He is not deaf, nor is he dumb, and he can see, and he can help, and he has power, and he answers prayer. That's the type of God that we serve. And he has spoken unto us. This scripture says he has spake to us, spoken in the past. Look at all the ways that he has spoken to us. He's communicated in so many ways through history. God spoke to Moses by a burning bush in Exodus chapter 2. To Elijah by a still small voice, 1 Kings 19. To Isaiah by a heavenly vision in Isaiah chapter 6. By Job into a whirling wind, he spoke to Job. To Hosea, he spoke by a family crisis in Hosea chapter 1 and verse number 2. And to Amos by a basket of fruit in Amos chapter 8 and verse number 1. Listen to what Job says about how God speaks. Look at Job chapter 12 and verse number 7. I should have told you to hold your place there for a moment, but I didn't, so we'll get some exercise. Job chapter 12 and verse number 7, it says, "But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this."
Amen.
Job is saying, listen to everything. Look at all these beasts and fish and all these things that God has created. And look at the earth. And God is speaking to everyone. Everyone, no matter where you go in the world, I don't care if you go to the darkest dungeon, whether you go to the darkest part of some woods or some continent that you wouldn't think that they would be worshiping something, but they always have something that they're worshiping. They believe that there is a God because of creation. The book of Romans talks that they actually started worshiping the beast, the creation, rather than the creator. They didn't seek for the real truth. Then look over at Psalms 19:1. Psalm 19:1. In Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 1, the scripture says this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, the whole world has been cursed because of Babel. You remember when they declined to listen to God and do what God said? And what happened is that their languages were confused. And then those people that had certain languages, they all gathered together and they moved here and they moved there and they moved there. And so they couldn't speak to each other. And that makes it hard for you and me when we want to go teach somebody. Have you ever knocked on the door when you went out on visitation and knocked on the door and somebody that was from Vietnam actually opens the door? And you're trying to tell them about the gospel and they cannot hear you? And they can't understand you? And you feel really bad that, look, these people need the gospel? But here in Psalm 19:1, God says, I'm speaking to everyone in their language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. And you know what? That is actually translated in every language. No matter what the language is, God is saying, I'm declaring myself to those in every language in the world. And then look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, the scripture says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Now, let's say that last section together, so that they are without excuse. That's how powerful the creation is. And God has spoken, and he's given his message. God has shown that he wants to talk to us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to give us his message. He has tried everything that man has a receptor for, every type of antenna, every type of language, that God has reached man so that they can seek after him, to the point that they are without excuse. They're not going to be able to stay. I didn't know that there was a God. But God says they are without excuse. However, not only does the Bible say that God spoke in the past, but listen to the second part of this. He says, Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now the phrase last days here begins from the day that the Messiah was born to when this book of Hebrews was written and until this day. Up until now. These are the last days. And he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, I look at this, have you ever had a boss tell you, say, excuse me, would you come in the office, I want to speak to you? Has anybody had your dad or your mom say, hey, listen, I have something that I need to talk to you about, you know? Or a teacher? Well, here, the Bible said that God has spoken by his son. Mm-hmm. God wanted a face-to-face time that he could talk to those that he loved. And he did it through his son. Think of this, that the son is a language. You know, like some people can speak in Vietnamese, some people can speak in French, some people try to speak in English. But God is saying, I'm speaking in son language. And his son is revealing to humankind exactly who God is, what God is, how God handles things. This is why when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see exactly how the Lord Jesus handled things, what he said, why he continued to say, not my will, but yours be done. Where he didn't make a name for himself, where he humbled himself, where he prayed when he had those troubles and persecutions that he was going through. When the devil came to him and tempted him, he took the very word of God and he fought Satan with God's word. He was teaching us something. He was speaking to us through his son. The son is God's language to you and me. Have you ever thought about that? That the Son is a language. This is why Jesus has a special name. And John 1:1, you can quote it. You can quote it. Can you quote it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we would not do any injustice to that scripture if we had said, in the beginning was the Son. And the Son was with God. And the Son was God. It's saying the exact same thing. That word is the language that God spoke to you and me. And he sent him. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1 verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God spoke in these last days by his Son. Verse number 2 continues, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, what is an heir? We think about an heir when somebody dies and they have siblings or they have family, and that person may have some money or some property, and when he dies, he has a will, and that will states that this person gets something, this person gets something, and this is why I didn't give you anything. Those are the heir and the disinherited. But aren't you glad that when you became a Christian, that you became a joint heir with the Lord Jesus? Amen. And God says that Jesus has been given heir over everything. And because we are his children through trusting Jesus as our Savior, then he says, we are joint heirs. We used to sing a song in Norfolk, Virginia, talking about that we're joint heirs with Jesus. Do you remember that one? Joint heirs with Jesus. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I love this scripture here. Romans 8:17-18. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
What a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. And see, this is why the book of Hebrews is being written like it's written. Because we have a bunch of people that are losing heart, losing faith. They've been under persecution and all these troubles. They've stopped getting into God's Word. They've stopped meeting with other Christians and encouraging one another. And the book of Hebrews is trying to tell them, listen, consider Jesus. Consider who He is. Consider what He has done. And brothers and sisters, that brings those that were born again to God to bring them to the right place. Boy, to have a brother or sister to come to you when you are down and out and feeling persecuted and feeling alone, and they come up and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done for you. Have you forgotten about this verse? This is why it's so important for teaching and preaching, so that we'll be reminded of the things that God has taught us. This morning, being reminded about how bad our tongues can be if we don't bridle them, but how good they can be if we use them for God's glory. How good is the Word of God, where we've been reminded today to unite our hearts to fear God's name. That's how important the Scriptures is. And God has spoken. He's spoken in the past. And now He's spoken in the future. And He's spoken by His Son. You know, one thing that my Bible teacher used to teach us is, he said, try to find a hymn that clinches the truth of a book. And those of you that have your hymn book, I want you to look at hymn number 149. Hymn number 149. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what different things that you are experiencing in your family or in your work because of your stand for Christ. For the persecution that you're going through, through family members who are avoiding you, through friends who no longer are there for you because you are trusting Jesus. But I want you to look at this. 149. When we see Christ, I won't sing it for you. Oftentimes, the day seems long. Our trials are hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe. At last, we'll share the joys of heaven, a heart, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trial will seem so small when we see Christ.
one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Do you know one brother or sister that needs the message of this song? There's people that used to come to this church, probably, that has lost faith. They're wavering. They may need to hear a word from you to tell them you love them. You're praying for them. And is there anything that we can do now? This is the message of the book of Hebrews. We can be the tongue for God and encourage our brothers and our sisters who are downcast, who is downtrodden. They may have been hurt by something that we said. We don't know until we ask. Then we have a chance to explain or to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, to humble ourselves. But God spoke to these dear brothers and sisters who were faltering, who were wavering. And we ourselves, maybe in our own selves, we are starting to falter, or we're starting to waver. We're not as strong in our faith as we once were. We're not a fervent witness like we once were. The writer of the book of Hebrews, through the power of the Holy Spirit and his inspiration, says, let's consider Jesus and what he's done for us. Are you not a different person today because of what Jesus has done? And now with what God has done, we can help others bring them to the point that God will use us to encourage them and to help them in their time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord has encouraged you in some way. Maybe right now you just thank God for what he's doing in your heart. Maybe you can see yourself as these Hebrews, that it's so hard this day and time that we live in, that it's harder to be a witness because we don't know how people are going to respond. Let's continue on until we seek Christ. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. I don't know all of you. But if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, today, if you would come in the very first time we sing the first verse, and you come, someone will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning. Lord, we thank you so much. As we look all around, Lord, you not only have spoken to us, but Lord, the whole creation is yelling out, proclaiming your glory. And those that you have created pay no attention. They're deaf to your love and to your care. Oh God, help us as Christians to continue on in this world, even though it's lonely, even though it's a world where we're persecuted in. Lord, help us not to give up. Help us not to waver, but to be strong until Jesus comes. Help us our witness to be stronger than it ever has before. Father, we see that Jesus is coming again. We see the way that Australia is going now.
that they want to take away a lot of our rights of religious freedom. And Father, I just pray that even though that this all is coming about, Lord, you've warned us that it's coming. But Lord, we won't lose heart. Lord, we want to continue. And Father, use us to continue to speak for you. Father, I pray for that one dear soul that may not know Christ today. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Closing.